Your body is kept alive by food. If someone were to tell you that there were no more food, there could be no worse announcement to you. If you went to the supermarkets and found them bare, and they said there would be no more food delivered ever, and all of us are just going to starve to death, you could imagine the panic in the streets at such an announcement. People would kill in order to obtain food. That is how important food is to us, to keep our bodies alive, bodies which will one day necessarily be consigned to the grave. Where all of the food that we have taken will ultimately do us no good to keep our bodies permanently alive. So your soul is kept alive by a food. And these young children here today are coming to get their food. And as the soul is far more important than the body, so the food of the soul is far more important than the food of the body. And if we would go into a panic to think about the fact of being deprived of food even for a day or a week, so we see from that the importance of the food of the soul, how important it is what they are about to do today to receive this holy and blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the food of their souls. It is the food of the soul because it is nothing less than God Himself. The soul has a natural life. The soul keeps the body going. It is the principle of our sensation, our movements. But we are not talking about that here. It is sufficient merely to eat and to exercise in order to keep body and soul together in a natural way. And even those who are in the depths of mortal sin still have a natural life of the soul. We are speaking today about the supernatural life of the soul, union with God, its participation in the life of God. That cannot be sustained by mere ordinary food. That can only be sustained by the grace of God and the normal channel of this grace is the sacraments, and the greatest of all of the sacraments is the Holy Eucharist. It is God Himself. The purpose of all grace, sanctifying grace and all actual grace, union with God. Just as your body, in order to live, must be in union with your soul, so your soul, in order to live supernaturally, must be in union with God. Otherwise, it is dead. It is incapable of any activity supernaturally, if it is not in union with God. And so God, in His infinite and indescribable providence, in the treasure of His love, He gave Himself in the Blessed Sacrament so that He could come and be Himself our food. By analogy, if your soul were fire, then the Blessed Sacrament would be a piece of the sun, the hottest fire, to keep you warm and alive permanently. But your soul is not fire. It is a spirit, just as God your soul at conception. And now at baptism, you receive the life of God in you. And now at this point, in this very, very sacred and momentous time of your life, these children are going to receive the food of their souls that sustains them in the life of God that they received at baptism. God first became man in order to love us more, in order to sacrifice himself more. And because he was man, he was able then to place himself in the Holy Eucharist. For what we have in the Holy Eucharist and what we adore in the Holy Eucharist is the body and the blood of Christ. Unless he had become man, we could not have the body and the blood of Christ. God, furthermore, is the perfect food of the soul. As I said, the entire purpose of food is to maintain our bodies. There is no other reason why we put food to our lips except to maintain our bodies. And so we eat things that are similar to our own bodies. We don't eat things that are poisonous to us, that will make our stomachs upset. But we eat things that are similar and conducive to our bodies, meats and vegetables, which will have things in them that our bodies need and already possess and need to be replenished. In like manner, in the Holy Eucharist, we eat a food that is similar to our souls. At baptism, we receive sanctifying grace, which makes us like God. It makes us share in the nature of God, as St. Peter says in his epistle. So to sustain this share in the nature of God, we need the food of God himself. And this food of God himself is given to these young ones because now they have arrived at the age of reason. They can no longer have the excuse of their childhood for sin. Yes, they do things when they're little children that, if they were to do them as adults, you would say would be gravely sinful, rebellion, breaking things, being mean to their brothers and sisters. But these things are tolerated in young children because they don't know what they're doing. But as they get older, this life of grace, of baptism, becomes more fragile in them because they achieve the age of reason. They look around at the things of this world and are lured by them. And they need a sustaining grace, which is the grace of the Holy Eucharist. This food of God contains within itself all sweetness and delight, as the psalm says. It is all that we need to go to heaven. For this reason, our Lord said, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." This is the great channel of grace. If you have ever seen the water come over Niagara Falls, so also this is the great fountain and flow of grace from heaven, abundant, beautiful. And this is what they will receive today. It is important, therefore, my dear children, and also the rest of you who have already received First Communion, to have a devotion to the Holy Eucharist. By law, you must receive the Holy Eucharist worthily once a year, during the Easter time, which is from the first Sunday of Lent to Trinity Sunday. If you fail through your own fault to do that, you commit a mortal sin. That is the minimum, however. Law only seeks the minimum. It seeks only survival. It does not seek perfection. Love seeks not the minimum, but the maximum. It wants everything. A mother does not say, "How can I give the minimum to my children?" She wants everything for her children. She wants eternal life for them. She wants all of the goods of heaven. She wants all of the goods of earth, whatever would pertain to their supernatural good. She wants everything for them. She wants them to be in good health. And she gives her whole life for that. She pours herself out in sacrifice for her children because she is moved not by law, but by love. And so the ideal of devotion to the Holy Eucharist is not once a year, but every single day. Just as you put food to your lips every single day, even many times a day, so also every single day is the pinnacle and ideal of devotion to the Holy Eucharist. With great fervor in your heart, so that every Holy Communion, ideally, might be more fervent than the Holy Communion the day before. Just like stepping up on a ladder, where every time you take a step, it is higher than the one before it, so every Holy Communion, ideally, should be more fervent than the one before it, should be with greater perfection of soul than the one before it. That is the ideal of the spiritual life. That is why God placed Himself in something so common as the species of bread and wine, and placed Himself in so many tabernacles of the world, and why He raises up priests in their vocations to have the Blessed Sacrament everywhere. It is almost as common as water itself, which is the matter of baptism. How easy it is to obtain bread and wine, and how abundant God is with His priests through the ages, making them available to the faithful so that all of the faithful could have access to this most blessed sacrament of the altar. Priests saying Mass every day so that this is available. Because God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to approach Him in this hearth of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Now sometimes, even many times, it is impossible to approach the altar of God every day. But we must at least be devoted to the Holy Eucharist and desire to receive Him if we could. The Holy Eucharist is the center of the life of the Catholic Church. It is the center of the life of the soul. There is no other thing to say about it. We must also make sure, and this is the law, that we receive Him when we are dying. The world would drug you up when you're dying. The world cares only about your pain and suffering and what they would call a peaceful death. But you must be awake and aroused, fervent, and ask to receive the Holy Eucharist if you possibly can. This is your most important time when you're dying, and your last communion is, in a way, more important than your first communion. Now, an absolute condition of our devotion to the Holy Eucharist is to keep our souls free from mortal sin. When you are sick, you lose your appetite. So when you love sin, you cannot receive our Lord. You don't even have an inclination to receive Him. When you love sin, even the very words of a sermon are to you sickening. You look away. You are distracted. You are irritated. Even the Word of God becomes burdensome to you. But the thought of receiving God Himself, holiness itself, when you love sin, is something unbearable. And so the first devotion, the foundation of all devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, is purity of soul, freedom from the state of mortal sin. The state of sanctifying grace is the first devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And resolve, therefore, my dear children, today to keep your souls free from sin. The devil would have you. St. Peter said in his epistle today that he's like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he would devour. If a lion were let loose in this church at this moment, people would scream and run for fear of what the lion would do to them. And so St. Peter says, and this of course is the Holy Ghost saying, because it is the inspired Word of God, that the devil is like a lion, and he would have you and devour you. And so, children, and all of you who have received your first Holy Communion, never be happy in the state of mortal sin. Never be happy in it. Never be content. Act as though you have been stabbed in the heart and the knife is still in it. Because that's what mortal sin is. Who was stabbed in the heart for sin but our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart, stabbed in the heart for mortal sin. And if you commit a mortal sin, a single mortal sin, consider that to be a stab in the heart. Do not be happy in that state. But just as you would rush to the hospital as your heart bled, if you had strength in you, so also rush to an act of penance and to the sacrament of penance. Rush to your knees and ask God for the grace to lead a good life and to avoid mortal sin. Hate all of the occasions of mortal sin, whether it should be from the television set or from movies or from any other place or person that gives you occasion. Hate it. Hate it with your whole soul, because you love God with your whole soul. For as much as the Holy Eucharist is the life of your soul, mortal sin is the death of it. Our Lord is Holy Communion, but mortal sin is evil communion. It is unholy communion. It is union with the devil. By the grace of God, my dear children, may you never receive evil communion. May you never be in communion with the devil. May you never commit a mortal sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.